Hi there, and welcome to episode 41. This week, I'm joined by business coach and marketing consultant, Adanna Austin. Adanna is an entrepreneur from the Twin Island Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. She works with entrepreneurs to develop a winning mindset, to run their businesses, develop SMART goals, identify their ideal clients, and develop strategies to generate revenue and grow their business. In addition to sharing her professional journey of moving from the corporate world to full-time entrepreneurship, Adanna also shares her very personal journey through depression and anxiety and the power that comes with owning your truth, getting the help you need, and inspiring others to do the same. Adanna reminds us of the importance of taking intentional steps towards building a success mindset. Enjoy. Welcome, Adanna.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so good to have you on Shifting Perspectives. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want to jump right into it. And yes. I want us to learn a little bit more about you and what it is that drives you.
What drives me? So I'm Adanna Austin. I usually introduce myself as your business coach and consultant.
Who attracts
high-end clients or business owners who are excited to set their goals, identify their ideal clients, and develop strategies to grow their business. So what really, really gets me excited is helping other entrepreneurs grow. I come from a large family of entrepreneurs.
Really?
It's over 200 of us, actually, in my family.
200?
Yeah, my family is huge.
Okay. And lots of entrepreneurs in the family?
And there are lots and lots of entrepreneurs in my family. So I grew up around businesses and businesswomen and men, right? So it's just in my blood. So I get excited helping others to reach that potential and grow their business from the inception, just that thought in your head, to setting it up, getting your strategies together, starting to get that first set of money in. Yes. You know what I mean? My clients tell me, Adanna, like, you're too excitable. Come on. I have to be excited for you. Like, I'm so excited. So that drives me. Every single day to just get up and give more, share more, teach more, and just help, because I think there is room for all of us to be successful, and there's room for all of us to be millionaires. There's enough out there for all of us to be millionaires.
There is. Mm-hmm. There is.
Definitely.
And you know, so often people get into a scarcity mindset, and that stops them even before they get going.
Definitely.
So the power of having somebody that believes in your idea as much as you do. Mm-hmm. You know, but I want to know more about this family of entrepreneurs before we go on, because I do think it makes a difference if you grow up around
Definitely. It does make a huge difference, because you can see the behind the scenes. You can see all the things that people don't normally talk about, because, you know, people like to talk about the pretty side of it, right?
What we see on social media.
Right. And this is before social media. So, you know, you don't see, like, you know, how they have to bend their back to pay their staff members. They don't see, like, I remember, like, my dad had an ice cream parlor at one time, and we lost the building, and we had to shift, and nobody sees all of those beautiful things. Our flower shop was the same thing. We were based in the heart of the city for like 10 years, and then we had to shift and build something at home, right? And it's now at home for the last 8 to 9 years. And people don't see the behind the scenes part of it. And growing up in a family where we are very open, we talk about our challenges with our businesses, we bring each other in. So, like, my niece will work with me, my cousins will work with me, you know, we bring each other in. So seeing the back end and the not pretty part of it really gives you a better appreciation of what it takes to build a business. Because we have my family, when I say my family, my mom, my brother, and I, we have three businesses right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, but we know that we have to support each other in order to get it done. Mm-hmm. So
But, yeah. You know, even what you just said there about being willing to talk about your challenges, mm-hmm. I feel like that would take away a lot of the fear that keeps people out of things. Because if it's in the open, it's more easy. It's easier to navigate.
Yeah. And there's always someone you could turn to and say, at least in my family, and say, listen, I'm experiencing this. What does this mean? Like, how do I, you know, and there's somebody older who could say, well, listen, this is what you need to do, or this is who you need to speak to, or, you know, this is how you turn it around. So mm-hmm. I would say I'm fortunate enough to have that. And even in starting my other businesses, because I have so many family members in business, I can pull resources from my family. I always look at my family first, right? Like, I need to get this done and that done and this. Okay, let me pull from my resources first, you know, to fast track it, because they know how important it is. You know, I always say money like speed.
I like that.
Yeah, so they know how important it is. Okay, get this off the ground. You give them the idea like what support speed. You need. And let's move forward, you know, and that really helps, not just in the fam, not just for the business, but, you know, just in other things. Like yesterday, we heard that my cousin got a scholarship to Canada, but it's a partial scholarship. And immediately we jumped in and like, okay, so what do we need to do? Because it's only a partial scholarship. Where is he living? Well, how are we paying his bill? You know what I mean? So that level of support. And I know I'm fortunate to have that. Because I know that's not a reality for a lot of people. But I want them to know that as their coach, that I have you. I have your back. And I am going to be that level of support. I could be supportive for 10 people. You know what I mean? I'm like 10 people in one. I'm going to support you to make sure that you feel confident enough to make those steps that may feel scary at times. Because it can be scary.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you weren't always doing the entrepreneurship thing because you were in the corporate world, right?
Yes.
So what was that about? What did you do in the how could you leave your good job? Now that I know you have a family full of entrepreneurs, I can see maybe that was made it. Yeah. Did that make it an easier transition?
Yes and no. I think that I was always expected to start my own business. Like, I had my business while I was working my corporate job.
Okay.
Right. I was always expected, I think, to break away from my corporate job. But I think the way that I had to do it was unexpected. so that's why I say yes and no. So I worked at our central bank for a long time as a senior person there, and I did their marketing and public relations and that kind of thing. I worked in the Office of the Financial Services Ombudsman, and just I did a lot of exactly what I do, marketing and strategy and that kind of thing. And at one point in time, this is 2015, at one point in time, I started to go through like a really major depression because there were so many moving parts going on in my business external to work. I was experiencing a lot of depression, and part of that was that I was having anxiety attacks, panic attacks, you know, I could hardly breathe. I was just trembling, like the slightest thing would trigger me off. And I remember in 2015, I was in such a bad state that my boss at the time, she was like, Adani, you need to take time off. It was that bad. Yeah, it was affecting my usual performance. So I took the time off. I went and saw a Reiki specialist and all these kind of things. I was getting body pains as well. But you have to remember, at this point in time, I really didn't know I was going through depression. So I was just having anxiety attacks. And I'm like, what is this?
Did you know it was anxiety right away? Or did you wonder whether there was another health? Because anxiety sometimes masks itself like other health conditions.
I thought something else was wrong because, as I said, I was also getting a lot of body pains, a lot of migraines. I spent thousands of dollars going to the doctor, you know, them doing all kind of tests. And they're like, Adana, there's nothing physically wrong. And I'm like, no, there is. Because why am I feeling this way? It could only be something physical. They did end up finding something physical that had nothing to do with my anxiety. But I had to get an emergency surgery. This is early 2016. And at that time, I had to be down for like 6 weeks. So I took my 6 weeks off to have my surgery. And the week before I was supposed to go back out to work, like, I looked at the calendar. I remember this distinctly. It was a Thursday night. I looked at the calendar. I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to go back out to work on Monday. And I had the worst panic attack I've ever had in my life. And I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it's like you're getting a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm here, I live alone. So I am in this space by myself, like feeling like my chest is about to burst. I can't breathe. And it, you know, I was here alone and it took me like an hour and a half to really calm myself down. And as I calmed myself down, I called my boss one time and I'm like, okay, I'm not coming back.
Wow.
And she was like, Rana, what happened? So I told her about the panic attack and she said, you know, you don't want to think about it. I'm like, no. I said, what triggered it was me watching the calendar. So if I watched the calendar and had that response, what's going to happen to me Monday morning?
Go back to work.
Yeah, what's going to happen to me Monday morning? So I didn't plan the exit of my corporate job.
Right? But still,
it
that
happened.
And but you even being willing to make that decision is huge.
Yeah. I had no plan. I mean, as I said, I was running my business on the side anyway. So I knew what I was good at. I knew what I was passionate about. But from that Thursday night, then Friday came. I had to tell my family, and they were like, "You live in your good job."
Just like that, right? I didn't make that up.
A good walk. Mm-hmm. To go and do what? And I'm like, listen, I'm Madonna. I will figure this out. You just need to give me a few weeks. Let me just figure this out, right? And I figured it out. And I made my part-time business into my full-time business. And here we are 5 years later.
Okay. So I want to know about this transition. Like you said, this is Adana, you're going to figure it out. But what did you learn about yourself mm-hmm. in the process of transitioning from the corporate world to being a full-time entrepreneur?
The biggest lesson that I learned, and I was really shocked by it actually, was that I needed to do a lot of mindset work. Mm. I think people don't realize that it's a huge shift from working for somebody and then working for yourself, answering to yourself. You have to set your deadlines. You are accountable to yourself. And because I was in business and I was around people who were in business, I didn't think that that would have been an issue for me. But one of the first things that I did was I got a coach, right? And in being coached, I realized that, wait, my biggest issue is not that I don't know what business I want, not that I don't know my strategies, but I needed to work on my mindset and like having a successful mindset and not letting things derail me or distract me or, you know what I mean? Keep me from doing what I'm supposed to do every single day, because I have no control over certain things, but there are definitely things that I do have control over.
When you make those kinds of transitions, especially if you have an idea, that idea is like your baby.
Yes. Right?
And your mindset, I think, is, I don't know if the word is fragile, but your mindset is vulnerable.
Yes.
In the sense that, especially because everybody and their dog are going to have an opinion about what it is you're going to do when you tell them you left your good corporate job.
Good job.
So I do totally get that, because you mm-hmm. have to have the kind of mindset that you don't take on everything around you, because
exactly
there's enough doubts and fears and everything to swoosh through.
And I don't know if this is a Caribbean thing. I think it is. Mm-hmm. But in the Caribbean, we grew up with a lot of sayings around money and like, yeah, why do you need so much money? Money don't grow on trees. Why? Yes. You know what I mean? And I just think inadvertently our parents have said these things to us so often that we believe them to be true. So to break away from those mindsets, to break away from the mindset of if you want more money, nothing is wrong with that. It doesn't mean that you're greedy. You deserve it because you're working hard, you know. Mm-hmm. Even simple things like now when I tell my clients, like, I don't work 8-hour days. I work 4 hours max and I don't work Friday and Saturday. But that was a huge mindset shift for me, because we were taught, you know, you have to hustle, you have to grind. You have to work, you know, Sunday to Sunday, 24/7 to get what you want. And I had to teach myself that that's not healthy, number one. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually need to do that. I need to better prioritize myself, delegate stuff, understand what's my zone of genius and what I need to let somebody else do.
Well, I like that, your zone of genius.
Yeah, so that I could manage myself and live a life that I deserve. I don't deserve to be tired all the time.
None of us
deserve that. Mm-hmm. You know, so just that mindset switch. And it took me a few months, It took me a few months to
support
that switch. Yeah. It took me a few months.
Must have been important for you in that.
It took me 3 to 4 months to really make that switch and be okay with what I wanted. And that's why I tell my clients as well, that mindset work is not something that you just do once. It's a continuous thing, because I do my mindset work every single day.
But I was going to say, it has to be a daily practice.
Yeah.
I think you have to make it part of your daily practice.
If
you're somebody that has a spiritual practice, it needs to be tapped in there.
Yeah.
In order to be able
I tell my clients that. I said, just if you get up and you brush your teeth, you make up your bed, you have a shower, you eat, you have to put in that mindset work. So I have my rituals that I do once a day, maybe twice or three times a day, depending on how the day is going. Sometimes you need that extra boost. But yeah, it's something that I literally do every single day to make sure that before I even go on the phone and talk to a client, before I write that first email, before I do anything work related, that I am in a frame of mind for success and I am expecting that success. I'm attracting that success and I believe that I deserve that success. I want to start there first every day before I jump into the work.
And, you know, you did mention something in there that I also want to unpack a bit is things that might have been inadvertently said to us that became truths. And I think it's so important for anybody, but especially as entrepreneurs, to understand that that bridge between the conscious and conscious unconscious mind.
Definitely.
And the amount of stuff that may live in our unconscious.
Yes.
It's affecting our day-to-day behavior. And it those does. Things. It does. Drive our behavior and our beliefs.
It does. One of the exercises that my first coach gave me was to spend a week just writing down. I had to walk around with a journal, just write down any negative thing that comes up in your head. Right. And I was like, oh, that's okay. That's not going to happen to me. Because I thought that I was like Miss Cheerleader.
Positivity.
I got like 14 pages.
Wow.
And I went back to this thing and I was like literally crying and I was showing my mom and I'm like, mommy, I say them so unconsciously.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because we've been saying them all our lives. Right. And I'm saying, and I'm like, this is crazy. And that is what made me, and I did that the first week of coaching. So that's what made me realize, okay, Dance, you have a lot of work to do, a lot of unpacking.
Yeah.
To do, changing not just how I thought, but what I said about myself and about my business. Because it's always easy to support other people externally, but yourself, it always feels like a challenge, right?
And so unapologetically to do it, you know?
Yes.
For some reason, sometimes we have this way of downplaying our abilities and downplaying our ability for the success.
Definitely.
Like we want to dress rehearse the disaster before it happened. So I definitely, but that's a powerful exercise.
And especially as a woman too, one of the things I had to learn is like, it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that for you. I don't have time or I'm not interested.
It's not aligned.
It's okay to say no. And I mean, when I first started to do that, like consciously say no, people were a little irritated because they're accustomed to me saying, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, don't worry. Call me. I'll, you know, and I just was every time somebody asks me something now, I'm like, is this something I really want to do? Is it going to drive me? Is it going to make me happy? And if I get no, then well, no, it's not happening. But that in itself took work.
I was just about to say it takes work to get to that point where you can do it without it tearing, especially if you're a people
feeling guilty.
Or if you're a helper by nature or a people pleaser, I think that it makes it very difficult to do that.
And I find my female clients mostly have that challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Men, they are fine. They say no left. I mean, they tell me no as their coach. I'm like, you need to do this. No, Dana. I'm like, what? What are you telling me? Like, no, Dana, I'm not doing that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But the woman, we are people pleasers. So it took a lot of work for me to realize that no is also an answer. My grandmother used to say that all the time. And I think it only clicked when I started my own business, that no is a full sentence.
Yeah, it certainly is.
It's an answer. Move on.
You know, I want to get back into what we were talking about with anxiety and moving a little bit into the mental wellness bit. But first, the anxiety bit. Mm-hmm. What kind of warning signs, now looking back, can you see that there was warning signs, or what can you give to listeners as, you know, warning signs for them that maybe anxiety or depression might be kicking in? Because like you said, you didn't know that was the case.
I didn't know what it was. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. I have learned that I need to, you know, we have that intuition, right? That inner voice. And again, I think that I was getting these messages internally. There's like, I don't know, don't do this. Don't continue. You need
to shut them down. Virtually.
And I'm like, yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah,
whatever. Because I'm accustomed doing this thing. So I just needed to say, and I think the anxiety was my body saying, you're not listening. Let me put you in panic mode. Maybe that is going to make you listen. Because at that time, there were so many things going through my head with my business, with the job, with, you know, relationships, with family. And I was taking on too much as well, right? Emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever. And I needed to pause, but I wasn't pausing. My natural instinct is to do more and just do more, right? I wasn't taking care of myself. That's why that self-care part is so important. So you have to know your triggers, because everybody's trigger is going to be different, right? My trigger was that when things were happening to me in 2015, I had a lot of passing, like deaths in my family, work was changing up, you know, my circle was changing. I needed to pause.
Okay.
And I wasn't pausing. I was just putting more stuff on it because I was trying to ignore the other things. You're, you know what I mean? Right. So I was just piling stuff on it. And I think that was just my body saying, I'm going to make you listen because I'm telling you to stop.
I really, you know, I really and truly appreciate how open you're being about anxiety and depression, because it is a topic that I think regionally we don't quite touch. No. And it's and, you know, some would say that everywhere that's the case, but I say, you know, speaking specifically, given that most of our listeners are Caribbean women, I think it's something that we know is there, and we know people may be having challenges with depression or just not feeling well, but we don't address it. And what do you think about that? What are your thoughts?
I think that's very true. I think it's very taboo to talk about it or even admit that you may need help, that you may have, you know, some kind of mental anxiety or, you know, depression. I think because what are we usually told when we say we feel depressed? Like, go and pray. Like, okay, that's not enough. Sometimes that is just not enough, right? Sometimes you're not just having a bad day. You're like mentally struggling. And I think it's very taboo in the Caribbean specifically to talk about wanting help and needing help and expressing exactly what is going on with you. You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of people who are experiencing this still have not gone out and gotten counseling. I'm a big, big advocate for therapy. Go and get your therapy, right? Your mother, your sister, your brother, your girlfriend, they are not therapists. They're not. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. They're not going to tell you what you need to know.
No.
And that's two totally different things, right? Mm-hmm. My therapist made me have some really come to Jesus moments.
Okay. No, I totally get it.
Yeah. And I've had multiple therapists, right? But I've had some real come to Jesus moments, like, oh my gosh, that's what I do. That's what I sound like. Really? You know, and
self-awareness help you so much in the process
of course,
getting to your highest self.
Of course. Of course, it definitely does. Right. But it's just so taboo. And I really wish, and that's why I talk about mindset so much. I really wish mm-hmm. that it was a more open conversation that we can have, because even as I work with entrepreneurs as a coach, I could tell, and I'm not a therapist. So I immediately yes. tell them, you need to go and see a therapist. See a therapist. Right. Mm-hmm. But you can tell, because I've gone through this, you can tell when, you know, somebody needs that extra kind of support. And you yeah. may not necessarily need to focus on building a business right now. You need to yeah. go and get help.
Sort. Yeah.
You sort yourself
out. Because there's a big difference between a coach and a therapist.
Oh, big.
You know, that's what I often referring back to is, right, I am not a therapist. Huge,
yeah, I always say I'm not a therapist. I can yeah. give you a number for a therapist.
Yes.
But I'm definitely not a therapist. And some people actually need therapy and not coaching.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to recognize when that happens. And there's no shame in it. That's the thing. There is absolutely no
that's
shame.
Where I was, that you read my mind. That's exactly where I was going to go, is because, you know, in our willingness to be vulnerable, you know, you've just been very vulnerable and shared a part of your journey that has been yeah. essential to your growth.
Yeah.
And if you're shamed in that process, it can really stunt you.
Yeah, it will derail you. It yeah. will derail you. There is no shame. My family, thank God, was very supportive of me, because mm-hmm. they saw what was happening and they were like, Dance, you need to go and talk to somebody, because we can't support you. We'll support you going, but we don't yeah. have the tools to support
you. And that's
you.
A big step, is to say, definitely. We don't have the tools, but we'll yeah. support you going.
Yeah.
Because I think traditionally we want to keep it in our families and
yeah.
do everything within the family. And like you said, pray.
Yeah. Right? Just go and pray.
We need the action to go along.
Yeah. So I'm again, I know that I'm fortunate enough to have that level of support, but I know everybody does not have that. But there's absolutely no shame in mm-hmm. getting the tools mm-hmm. that you need. Because imagine if I never went, I mightn't be here today. You know what yeah. I'm saying? It's yeah, that totally. Bad. And you have to figure out what it is. Because I could say, because of the therapy that I've gotten from my own mental health, I am a better coach.
Right.
I'm a much better coach for it.
And you share this truth with your clients?
Well, all of my clients, no. They right. know from day one.
Day one that this is the case. How do they react to it? Is everybody open to it? Or like, oh, why yeah. are you telling me this?
No. The majority, 99% of the time, I get the like, oh my God, Adan, I feel that way too. How did you deal with it? Who can I speak to? Again, because it's taboo. Right. And so many people are going through it. Right. So they know from day one, if I have a bad day, it's okay for me to say, guys, today is not the day. Today is not the day because of so. And they're like, fine, Dance, no problem. We can talk tomorrow. You know, mm-hmm. so that's what I tell them from day one, because I know this is a journey for me as well. Mm-hmm. And I need to be accountable to them, but I also need to be accountable for myself. So I am very open with them about whatever is going on. I share my story, even as I'm teaching them about building their businesses, because it's part of building your business. You're going to have these mental challenges, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, I'm completely open.
That's awesome.
With all of them.
Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, that shows your authenticity and it gives them... Yeah, I don't know if the word is permission, but it gives such an encouragement for them to just be yeah. themselves as well.
Yeah, that is. I think it helps them to be more open during our coaching process. Mm-hmm. If they're having any particular challenges, I think it allows them to feel like they're not going to be judged mm-hmm. if they share anything.
The more open they can get with you, the more you can dive deep and help them exactly. get to where they need to be.
Exactly. So yeah, I don't hide. And that's why I talk a lot about it, because I'm like, it needs to be normalized. Mm-hmm. It's a normal conversation. Nothing is wrong with saying that you need help. That's fine. Let's get you the help if you need help.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So let's talk about mindset. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to this success mindset. No matter what we do, mindset has a huge effect
yes.
on our ability to thrive. Now, you know, we're both female entrepreneurs. We know that the challenges that hit that. Now, what kind of advice would you have for new entrepreneurs that are just stepping out there in terms of yeah. being able to set themselves up for a success mindset?
Mm-hmm. A few things come to mind, actually. One of those things that we hear all the time, surround yourself with other people who are on the same journey. I like to surround myself with people who are like 10 steps ahead of me.
Yeah.
Right. So not necessarily somebody who's on the same level, but 10 steps ahead. That's one thing. The other thing, you know, get into a routine, get into a mindset, a success mindset routine, as I said. So I do a lot of, and all of my clients will tell you whenever I have coaching, the first thing I start off with is, what are we going to be doing for mindset work for over the next 12 weeks, guys? And we, our first few days, we spend doing our affirmations, creating affirmations. Some of them we do journaling. Just last week, I did like a vision board with one of my groups, you know. So there's so many different activities. So I like affirmations, journaling, vision boards. We do meditation. But the point is, figure out what works best for you, because it's going to be different for everyone.
Yes.
But get into a routine, like a daily routine of being your biggest cheerleader, speaking positivity into your life, speaking success into your life, and believing that everything that you speak is and can and will always be yours, right? It's already set. You just need to show up and do the work.
Right.
So all of my clients know that any program they do with me, the first thing we're going to do is mindset. What's going to be your mind? What's going to be our mindset? Our mindset routine, right? What's going to be our mindset routine? And every week I would jump in and say, okay, have you all done your affirmations this morning before we jump into our coaching session? Have you done your affirmations this morning? You know, share affirmations with us. Show me your vision board. Like, you know, what has been your goal for the week? You know, just keeping that. And I think openly talking about it as well helps you with that success mindset, as opposed to just keeping it inside. Yeah,
certainly. I agree 100% of the time. And, you know, for those of you that aren't familiar with the power of affirmations, because sometimes people just say, okay, affirmation. I don't know, I think that's going to work with me. But there's science behind it. Like, we're working with the chemistry of the brain.
Right. Yes.
And we want to get to the fact that all that bit that we were talking about a little while ago with this subconscious mind, the affirmations are the game changers.
They're the game changers
to getting you away from those narratives that might be taking over your behavior.
Yeah. And I also tell my clients, say it out loud. I know writing, I'm an advocate for writing. Yes, you write it out. Yeah. This is the process I use. I write it out in my journal every day, and then I say it out loud, because I think there's power in the spoken word, right? Yeah. And I think that saying it out loud triggers something in your brain. It activates your brain to believe that what I am saying is true, right? So yes, write it out, but then say it out loud. Say it out loud to yourself. Like if you say it to your best friend, you know what I mean? Use those I am statements, because it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
And I feel like that's a tool that's accessible to everybody.
Everybody.
You know, and sometimes it's lost how many of these tools that are just there. Try it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, if you follow a lot of these gurus online, they would tell you that they do affirmation work. They do their journaling, all the Oprahs and the Gary Vee's and the Tony Robbins and all. They do their meditations and stuff, because they understand that without those strategies, they would not have been able to reach where they were. I mean, yes, they are great business people, and yes, they're surrounded with other great business people. Mm-hmm. But the core from within, it has to come from within. That truth, that belief has to come from within first in order for you to attract what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, it's really, really important.
Awesome. Well, thank you. It's been awesome chatting with you.
Definitely.
You know, I think our minds are definitely on the same wavelength for sure. Is there anything that you'd like to say before we close out?
What would I like to say? I would like to say that if you're an entrepreneur, I would like to invite you to my Facebook group. It's called Dynamic Business Strategists. And as I said, it's 4,000 entrepreneurs from all over the Caribbean, in the States, Canada. And we really come into the group every single day and support each other. It's not an advertising group. We come, we ask questions, we share our We share our, you know, our the great things that are happening. We talk about the bad things that are happening. I come in and I do coaching every single week in the group for free every Thursday at 1 p.m. I come in and I talk about some topic.
Awesome.
In the group.
That's a huge resource. Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are other people that come in and talk as well. But it's really about the support. It's about mm-hmm. the support and understanding that you're not alone. You don't have to do it alone, right? There mm-hmm. are other people who are here to support you, because there's enough for all of us to be millionaires.
Yeah. And because entrepreneurship can be lonely if you don't have that support. So you don't need to be a solopreneur.
No, you don't. I wanted to give other entrepreneurs the opportunity to be in that kind of support system, because I know what that's like for my family. So my family was the beginning of my support system. And mm-hmm. I know how lucky I am to have that. So I want my group to be that as well, you know, for support, a support system for people who don't have the kind of family support that I had growing up.
Awesome. So we know we can find you on Facebook, the Dynamic mm-hmm. Business Strategist.
Yes.
Now, any other social media spots where we should look for you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram as Coach Adana Austin. Mm-hmm. And you can also find me on LinkedIn and Twitter under my business name, which is called Marketing Dynamics Business Solutions.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
And follow my blog and my podcast every week as well. Okay. A lot of information out
there. Yes. Yeah. And where do we find your podcast?
You can find my podcast off of my website. It's mm-hmm. mkgdynamics.com. You'll find all the blogs, all the podcasts, all the training material right
That's there. The central spot.
That's Great the central stuff. Spot. mkgdynamics.com. Okay.
So if you missed any of those, don't worry, I'll have them up on this week's show page. So you can visit this week's show page at mm-hmm. www.YolandRobinson.com/episode41. And if you're looking where to find me, you can find me on Instagram at Yoland Robinson or at my website, www.YolandRobinson.com, and on Facebook at Inspirations Turks and Caicos. So thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Shifting Perspectives. Have an awesome week.